quería, antes de darle la palabra al próximo expositor, decirles un detalle técnico que los compañeros de la Casa de las Américas me advierten, y es que en este salón hay mucho eco, de manera que todas las conversaciones privadas, casi imperceptibles, que ustedes tienen, se reverbera en todo el salón, por lo cual quisiera que tomaran eso en consideración, sobre todo porque se está grabando, etc. Bueno, ahora le voy a dar la palabra a Akinyele Umoja, que es el miembro fundador de la Organización de los Pueblos Nuevos Africanos, educador y estudiante graduado de la Universidad de Emory en Atlanta, quien nos va a hablar acerca de el tema de Malcolm X a Omowale Malik Shabazz, la transformación y Malik Shabazz, la transformación y el impacto de la lucha africana en los Estados Unidos. Aquí estamos haciendo una alteración del programa. Aquellos de ustedes que no tienen el privilegio de tener una copia del programa, no se preocupen, porque entre la copia que ustedes van a tener del programa y el programa hay una cierta distancia. De manera que lo que vamos es a ir haciendo las correcciones sobre la marcha. Akinyele. Gracias.
Brothers, sisters, comrades, on behalf of the New African People's Organization, on behalf of others who struggle in the spirit of Malcolm X, on behalf of political prisoners and prisoners of war inside the United States, in fact, New African Mandelas inside the United States, like Geronimo Pratt, Mutulu Shakur, Sunde Ada Coli, Sekou Odinga, and many others, political prisoners and prisoners of war inside the United States, I'd like to say Venceremos and free the land. It's certainly an honor to be able to participate in this symposium, honoring one of the greatest revolutionaries and sons of the new African nation inside the United States. It is also appropriate that this event is held in revolutionary Cuba. The internationalist solidarity of the Cuban Revolution is consistent with the thought and the practice of Brother Malcolm. From providing a place of refuge for revolutionary exiles, for example, the new African patriot Asada Shakur and the Puerto Rican patriot William Morales, to committing Cuban sons and daughters on the battlefield to stop the advance of the racist apartheid state, revolutionary Cuba has indeed carried the legacy of Malcolm X, Kwame Nkrumah, Samora Machel, Che Guevara, Gamal Abdel Nasser, and other great anti-imperialist freedom fighters. This paper will be coming from the perspective that black people, descended of enslaved Africans inside the USA, constitute a colonized people, an oppressed nation. Like Malcolm X, I do not see our people as Americans, but victims of Americanism. As an act of self-determination, I embrace the term New African to best describe the national identity of African descendants inside the USA. I also do not view the USA as a monolithic nation, but as an empire which started as a white settler state. The original white settler state expanded through its ideology of manifest destiny, stealing the land of the indigenous people, occupying northern Mexico, Hawaii, Alaska, the Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. North American slave owners even wished to include Cuba into the U.S. empire to expand chattel slavery. The new African nation exists as an oppressed nation within this empire. Brother Malcolm first received national and international attention as an organizer, minister, and national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam. With Malcolm as a major force within the nation, The organization grew from 3 temples to over 100 temples in the 11-year period he was in the organization. It is no doubt Malcolm's determination, organizational and oratorical ability, as well as his sincerity, were assets to the development of the Nation of Islam into the premier black nationalist organization in the 1950s and early 60s. Some of the hierarchy of the Nation of Islam that surrounded the Nation of Islam's leader, Elijah Muhammad, became threatened by Malcolm's militant rhetoric and his revolutionary stance. They feared Malcolm's revolutionary nationalist positions would bring heat on the organization by the United States government. Still others were jealous of the close relationship Malcolm shared with Muhammad, the love and respect he had developed amongst the masses of our people, and the attention he had gained from the white press in America. This hierarchy moved to isolate Malcolm within the organization. Eventually, Malcolm was placed on a 90-day suspension for making a statement regarding the death of United States President John F. Kennedy. Malcolm saw Kennedy's assassination as an example of chickens coming home to roost. In other words, the violence that America had perpetrated against the black nation and other colonized people had come to haunt white America. For this, Malcolm was silenced for 90 days. But after that period, and decided he could best work toward the liberation of Africans inside the U.S., unfettered by the increasingly conservative Nation of Islam. Upon leaving the Nation of Islam, Malcolm began to formulate 2 new organizations: the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, a religious organization, and the Organization of Afro-American Unity, a secular black nationalist organization. During the Muslim Mosque Incorporated and the OAAU period, Malcolm developed a new approach to leadership. I will identify some aspects of this transformation. For the sake of clarity, I will identify the Nation of Islam period, the Malcolm X period. The post-Nation of Islam period will be labeled the Omawale Malik Shabazz period. Omawale, a child returns home, meaning a child returns home, is a Yoruba name given to Malcolm by the Nigerian Muslim student movement during his first trip to Africa. Malik Shabazz is an Arabic name given by Elijah Muhammad to Malcolm X. Malcolm used Malik Shabazz in his international travels. The name Omawale Malik Shabazz represents the development of Malcolm after his pilgrimage to Mecca and his travels in Africa. In the Nation of Islam, Malcolm believed in and advocated the divinity of Elijah Muhammad. Elijah was the Moses, the great prophet who would lead his people to the promised land. Elijah's leadership was chosen by God, Allah. When establishing the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, Malcolm attempted to build an organization with his primary asset being his reputation as a leader. He realized that he had the support of younger activist Muslims. He realized that he had the support of younger activist Muslims and militant non-urban, non-Muslim blacks. He maintained a religious component within the Muslim Mosque Incorporated and initially continued to pay deference to Elijah Muhammad, establishing himself as a leader independent of the Nation of Islam. Malcolm did not base his qualifications for leadership on being the chosen representative of a divine being or individual. Quote, "I do not pretend to be a divine man, but I believe in divine guidance, divine power, and in the fulfillment of divine prophecy. I'm not educated, nor am I an expert in any particular field, but I am sincere, and my sincerity is my credentials. End of quote. Malcolm realized in his years as the Nation of Islam spokesperson that he developed certain other leadership assets. He was an international media figure as well as a black community leader in New York. Malcolm also possessed the ability to speak to blacks, to middle-class intellectuals, as well as to grassroots ghetto audiences. Malcolm understood that most national civil rights figures did not have the respect he possessed in the urban ghettos. Quote, time and again, when I spoke at street rallies, I would draw 10 and 12 times as many people as most other so-called Negro leaders. And I knew that in any society, a true leader is one who earns and deserves the following he enjoys. I knew the ghetto people knew that I never left the ghetto in spirit. End of quote. Malcolm's assessment of his assets focused on the qualities and reputation he had developed based upon his work and advocacy on behalf of the ghetto masses. He did not perceive or project himself as a divinely chosen, but chosen by the black masses due to his efforts. In the Omawali Malik Shabazz period, Malcolm did not refer to himself in language and titles which would distinguish himself from the majority of African descendants inside the United States. In his various speaking engagements in black communities, he was introduced as Brother Malcolm or just plain Malcolm. In a radio interview on December 27, 1964, Malcolm had the following dialogue with show host Bernice Bass. Bass stated, our guest here is the son of a Baptist minister, the Honorable Minister Malcolm X. Malcolm replied, I never accept the term honorable. Most people I've seen really end up misusing it. I'd rather just be your brother Malcolm, end of quote. Malcolm's descriptions of himself emphasize his identity as one of the people rather than proclaiming himself an anointed leader of the people. He often stated, quote, I'm one of the 22 million black people who are the victims of Americanism, end of quote. Such descriptions distinguish Malcolm from men proclaiming special missions and divinely prophetic roles to lead black people towards revolutionary democracy. In the Malcolm X period, Malcolm was a loyal follower of the messenger Elijah Muhammad. Elijah, the leader chosen by Allah, was the ultimate authority of Nation of Islam policy and program. All Nation of Islam Muslims were obligated to follow the messenger, Allah's messenger, or face God's wrath. This organizational style discouraged dissent, critical thinking, and democratic decision-making processes. In the Omawali Malik Shabazz stage, Malcolm sought to build an organization on a foundation different from that of the Nation of Islam. The program of the OAAU was not developed by Malcolm, but by an ad hoc committee. The committee consists of community activists, scholars, artists, students, professionals, nationalists, and Muslims, and included noted historian John Henry Clark and writer John Oliver Killens. Malcolm and the OAU did not claim to possess, quote, the solution to the dilemma of black people. His new leadership methodology moved beyond authoritarian collectivism and embraced democratic participation. At the January 24, 1965 OAAU rally, Malcolm made the following appeal to members and potential recruits, quote, we're trying to get ourselves organized in such a way we can become inseparably involved in an action program that will meet the needs, desires, likes, or dislikes of everyone that's involved. And we want you involved in it. We're attempting to make this organization one in which any serious-minded Afro-American can actively participate. And we welcome your suggestions at these membership meetings. We want your suggestions. We don't want in any way to claim, we don't in any way claim to have the answers to everything, but we do feel all of us combined could come up with an answer. With all of the combined suggestions and the combined talent and know-how, we do believe we can devise a program that will shake the world. End of quote. Although Malcolm emphasized black unity, his projection of black unity was not solely based upon black people united behind his leadership. This understanding of unity differed from that of the Nation of Islam, in which questioning the authority of the messenger or leaving the organization to engage a new path was treachery and hypocrisy. While in Africa, during the summer of 1964, he received letters from several dissatisfied members of the OAAU and the Muslim Mosque Incorporated. Malcolm responded in an open letter to the Muslim Mosque Incorporated and the OAAU. This letter from Cairo, written August 29, 1964, is an example of Malcolm's democratic style in Omawale Malik Shabazz stage. Quote, I believe in human rights for everyone, that none of us is qualified to judge each other, and none of us should therefore have that authority. If we don't have the right to force any, we don't have the right to force anyone to walk with us, nor do we have the right to condemn those who want to leave, those who become impatient when they don't see us getting results and therefore want to try another way. We can't blame them, and we have no right to be angry with them. If we ourselves produce results, people will stay, and they will get, and they will all support a good program that is getting results. If brothers want to establish another organization, even that is their right. We must learn to wish them well and mean it. Our fight must never be against each other. No matter how much we differ over minor things, our fight must always be directed against the common enemy. I've never sought to be anyone's leader. When I return, I will work with anyone who thinks he can lead, and I only pray to Allah that you will work with me likewise. End of quote. It would be considered a sin. It would not be considered a sin if one left the Muslim Mosque or Organization of Afro-American Unity. Malcolm's experience with the hierarchy of the Nation of Islam may have made him sensitive to the necessity of flexibility in this regard. Another example of Malcolm's developing democratic ideas is his evolution concerning the participation of women in the society. In the Malcolm X stage, as a Nation of Islam minister, Malcolm developed a reputation for being anti-woman. The Nation of Islam minister Malcolm X view on gender roles is exemplified in the following passage. Quote, every month when I went to Chicago, I would find some sister had written complaining to Mr. Muhammad that I talked so hard against women when I taught our special classes about the different nature of the two sexes. Now, Islam has very strict laws and teachings about women, the core of them being that the true nature of a man is to be strong and a woman's true nature is to be weak. And while a man must at all times respect his woman, at the same time, he needs to understand that he must control her if he expects to get her respect. End of quote. During Malcolm's travels in Africa, during the Omawale Malik Shabazz period, his observations impacted his thinking. Malcolm traveled to countries developing democratic socialist principles, as well as those relying on archaic traditional customs reinforced by neo-colonial rulers. Speaking to a group of African students in Paris, France, Malcolm made the following statement. Quote, one thing that I became aware of in my traveling recently through Africa and the Middle East, in every country you go, usually the degree of progress can never be separated from the woman. If you're in a country that's progressive, the woman is progressive. If you're in a country that reflects the consciousness toward the importance of education, it's because the woman is aware of the importance of education. But in every backward country, you'll find women are backward. in every country where education that is not stressed is because women don't have education. So one of the things I became thoroughly convinced in my recent travels is the importance of giving freedom to the woman, giving her an education, and giving her incentive to get out there and put the same spirit and understanding in her children. And frankly, I'm proud of the contributions that our women have made in the struggle for freedom. And I'm one person who's for giving them all the leeway possible because they made a greater contribution than many of us men. End of quote. In the Malcolm X stage, he saw the need to control women. In the Omawale Malik Shabazz stage, Malcolm saw the liberation of women as a necessity in the struggle to free society. Malcolm also began to encourage critical thinking. As a follower of Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm feared questioning the decisions of the messenger. Even doubting the messenger or harboring dissatisfaction could lead to the divine chastisement. Malcolm's psychological divorce from the Nation of Islam allowed him to speak and think for himself. He likewise encouraged this type of behavior in the Omawale Malik Shabazz stage. Mystification, too deep mystification. Malcolm X believed Elijah Muhammad was taught by God Allah himself. He not only believed in the great wisdom and knowledge of the divinely chosen messenger, but he also converted others to believe, others to this belief. Minister Malcolm also taught about the eventual divine intervention by God to destroy the white devil. God would ensure the Asiatic black man would rule the planet Earth. The nation believed in separation, the formation of independent black nationhood, or repatriation to Africa. This means to separate was not through political or military action, but through divine intervention. Even before his split with the Nation of Islam, action-oriented Malcolm X advocated armed revolution as a means to obtain land and independence. Quote, revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way. A revolutionary wants land so he can set up his own nation, an independent nation. End of quote. When espousing traditional Nation of Islam policy, Malcolm stated the following. It is only a matter of time before white America too will be utterly destroyed by her own sins, and all traces of her former glory will be removed from the planet forever. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that as it was a divine will in the case of the destruction of the slave empires of the ancient and modern past, America's judgment will also be brought about by divine will and power. End of quote. Malcolm also espoused a cosmic view of history as a Nation of Islam minister. In the Omawale Malik Shabazz stage, Malcolm demystified his approach to leadership. His knowledge was not based upon his selection over others by divine force. Malcolm acknowledged his awareness of history, current affairs, and the ability to analyze came from several stimuli. Malcolm never denied the influence of Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam on his consciousness. He was also well-read and encouraged others to read and acquire an education. After leaving the Nation of Islam, he encouraged intellectuals and students to do that research necessary to resolve problems and develop plans. Malcolm also encouraged travel as his trips to Africa and the Middle East greatly expanded his thinking. After leaving the Nation of Islam, Malcolm articulated the necessity of a short-range program to complement the long-range objectives of independent black nationhood. Malcolm felt a short-range program was necessary to answer immediate concerns of voting rights, housing, education, employment, and racist violence. In the Omawale Malik Shabazz stage, Malcolm began to articulate as a long-range program, which included revolutionary nationalism, pan-Africanism, anti-imperialism, and socialism. While he increasingly became non-committal on a separate black state in public, Malcolm had not dismissed the idea of independence through revolution. Late in his life, he told the writer Alex Haley, quote, it may be that the American black man does need to become involved in a revolution. What it means is a complete overturn, a complete change, A true Negro revolt might entail, for instance, fighting for separate black states. Malcolm also sought to empower the liberation movements of Africans inside the U.S. by developing links with other anti-colonial national liberation movements and anti-imperialist nation states. As a Pan-Africanist, he struggled to establish working relationships between peoples of African descent worldwide in a common front against U.S. imperialism, apartheid, and colonialism. Brother Malcolm consistently criticized the role of U.S. imperialism in Africa and sought to build a movement, a militant movement inside the USA in solidarity with the continental African liberation struggle. While he reminded newly independent African states of their responsibility to support the human rights struggle of their brothers and sisters inside the United States, Malcolm also supported anti-colonial and national liberation movements in Asia and Latin America. Malcolm viewed each victory against U.S. imperialism and Western domination as the creation of a progressive zone of power. He understood the success and growth of national liberation in Asia, Africa, and Latin America served to change the international balance of power and create favorable conditions for the liberation of the new African nation inside North America. In the Omwali Malik Shabazz stage, Malcolm also clearly attacked the system of capitalism. He compared capitalism to a vulture, which was sucking the blood of the weak and oppressed. He increasingly combated capitalist propaganda of the system, against the system of socialism. Malcolm's impact on the new African liberation struggle. While in the Nation of Islam, Malcolm's revolutionary nationalist and anti-imperialist position and militant stance had contributed to the radicalizing of the new African masses, particularly the youth. After leaving the Nation of Islam, he was able to organize and speak for himself. Malcolm could become the national and international voice for a developing new African liberation movement inside the USA. While only living 11 months after leaving the Nation of Islam, Malcolm played a significant role in the ascendancy of this developing movement. Malcolm became the national spokesperson for emerging militant revolutionary nationalist trend, which was later to be known as the Black Power Movement. He became the spokesperson and the central personality for young activists who some call the Third Force. These young militants identified with the direct action and confrontational tactics of the civil rights movement led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but rejected nonviolence as a method and integration as a solution. They also identified with the economic program and the image of self-respect projected by the Nation of Islam, but were critical of the nation's non-involvement in political action confronting the American apartheid system of Jim Crow and white terrorism being inflicted upon new African people. Malcolm began to work with these elements and gave a national voice. The Revolutionary Action Movement was part of this trend, working closely with Malcolm X during his last year. This trend would develop into the Black Panther Party, the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa, the League of Revolutionary Black Workers, and other black power organizations of the 1960s. Malcolm helped accelerate the radicalization and militancy of the freedom and desegregation movement of the New African National Territory, or the Black Belt South. Malcolm spoke to and dialogued with workers of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and toured Alabama. He eventually assigned a member of the Organization of Afro-American Unity to work in the freedom movement in the National Territory. Malcolm's emphasis on self-defense and self-determination was a major influence on many civil rights workers abandoning nonviolence and integration, instead calling for black power. Malcolm began to struggle with the civil rights movement to change the emphasis and the slogan of the movement to human rights. By defining the freedom movement as a human rights struggle, the movement could, under the United Nations Charter and international law, bring charges against U.S. imperialism in the UN and gain international support for the movement. As the United States government accelerated its COINTELPRO, or counterintelligence program, during the mid and late 1960s, this revolutionary nationalist trend will become increasingly under attack and weakened. The external strength of the attack by U.S. imperialism, combined with the lack of discipline, organization, sophistication, and with the ideological weaknesses of the young revolutionary nationalist movement, will create a lull in the struggle for national self-determination and human rights through the 1970s and most of the 1980s. Many revolutionary nationalist forces have struggled within the interim, winning limited victories and sometimes suffering defeats. Today, with the resurrection of the new African national, political, and social consciousness in the late 1980s into the 1990s, new African youth uphold the image of Brother Malcolm. Contemporary rap artists evoke the name of Malcolm X and mix quotes from his speeches into their rhythmic productions. Malcolm X t-shirts, medallions, and buttons have become popular fashion statements on campuses and in the community. By any means necessary has become a rallying cry in the increased participation of new African youth in challenging racist violence, the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacy, and in demanding basic human rights. Malcolm lives in the struggle of new African people for human rights and self-determination. As Malcolm's image continues to remain a central symbol of struggle, the general direction and principles he struggled for will aid the developing national, political, and social consciousness of the new African. Any movement continuing the legacy of Omawale Malik Shabazz must include the principles of collective leadership and revolutionary democracy. Continuing the political legacy of Malik Shabazz means a commitment to new African self-determination and national liberation. Pan-Africanism, anti-imperialism, and anti-sexism and socialist development. Finally, a commitment to the principles of our martyr, Brother Malcolm, is the internationalizing of the new African struggle. Internationalizing our struggle means supporting the struggle for self-determination, national liberation, and a new world economic order. Moreover, internationalizing the struggle in the tradition of Malcolm means working for international support for the new African struggle for human rights and self-determination. Let's embody these principles in a program in the spirit of Malcolm X, Omawale, Malik Shabazz. Let us make 1990 the year of Malcolm, and this decade the decade of self-determination. Vincent Ramos and Frieda Lang.